Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. For tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in today. I'm especially excited for today because it's another edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. I know you love it when we bring Dr. Troy on the show. So the phone lines are officially open. If you've got a health question, now is the time to call. It's a toll-free number, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie with an S, Susie@myfaithradio.com. I came in today with five copies of an older book of mine, but it's on physical and spiritual health. It's called Balance That Works When Life Doesn't. You want to be in on the drawing, you can do that as well. You know the drill. Again, email Susie@myfaithradio.com, and don't forget your mailing address. So I've got a few questions for you today before we get this party started. Are you ready? What happens when you start to make healthy choices? What happens in your body? What happens in your mind? What happens even relationally? Will you experience only the benefits? Or is there some backlash when you start to exercise, eat right, maybe fast, and practice self-restraint? Well, on the flip side, what does it cost you? What does it cost me? What does it cost us to settle for less than God's best for us, physically, emotionally, and every other way? Is there a literal financial cost? Is there a relational cost? And how about the cost to your quality of life? These are some of the questions we're going to answer today with Dr. Troy, and we're going to answer your questions as best we can as well. We'll hear from Dr. Troy in just a minute. A couple of quick announcements for you first. You've been hearing about it, and you're going to continue to hear about it because we're so excited about it, our upcoming Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. We are so thrilled about this. It's Saturday, July 15th. I am telling you, I have paid, I think, something like $1,500, $1,700 to attend certain writers' conferences. Do you know how much this conference costs for one day to meet with the experts, A-list faculty of editors, agents, and experts in the field? $150 for a full day, power-packed day with worship. Our keynote is Liz Curtis Higgs, an amazing lineup of faculty. We're talking about it now because the first 350 of you to register actually are guaranteed a face-to-face appointment with the faculty member of your choice. So if you have this desire, this inspiration in your heart to want to write, but you're afraid, put that fear under your feet. I want you to get on the website, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. Check out the faculty, prayerfully consider, and then take the flying leap of faith. Just join us because it's going to be great. Also, if you're traveling this winter, this spring, you can take us with you. And I really want you to take us with you. How do you do that? Just download the Faith Radio app. It's available in the Apple App Store and Google Play. You can live stream the shows from anywhere. Catch the podcast later. And we've got a growing international audience because of that app. If you've not downloaded it yet, I pray that you'll do that. All right, now let me tell you about my guest, though I don't think he needs an introduction, and we'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Spurl is CEO and founder of Synapse, a center for health and healing. He travels extensively conducting seminars on disease prevention and healing through a faith-filled, healthy lifestyle. His mission is to impact the well-being of people around the world by providing solutions to complicated life issues and to create sanctuaries that promote the restoration and perpetuation of health, happiness, and prosperity. His company's located in Eagan, Minnesota. We're honored to have him back on the show. Dr. Troy, welcome back.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'm so excited to talk with you today because these are some interesting things you and I have come up with as far as what we want to tackle. We'll get to those in a minute. But first, we always start, as you know, with Scripture. And you chose 1 Peter 5:10. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Love that passage. Talk about
it. Me
too.
Well, that one makes me very emotional because it's something where when you work in our industry, there's a lot of, you see a lot of suffering. That's why they come to you, because they are suffering. And just the word grace, there's so much depth to it when it comes to seeing people suffer with ailments. And it early on in my career, I just got so overwhelmed by it because people, there's just so much suffering. There really is.
Mm-hmm.
And then for me, I learned that first, and then I found Jesus and learned about what true grace was and the gift that we've been given. And it just helped me a lot in my practice to be a practitioner for people, but also for people to just to recognize that and know that, just that hope that it brings. And the majority of these people are just really, really suffering. It is a process they have to go through. And this passage just says it, just lays it all out there. There's suffering, and then there's recovery. You will recover. And I walk with a mindset that there's an answer to every problem. I may not have it. I'm not the one to solve every problem of every person that comes through my door. But there are people out there that can help people, and God will work through them. And God Himself, Jesus, is the answer when it comes to true healing, for eternal healing. While we walk here together in this journey on this planet, though, there are ways to overcome what you're up against right now. And just knowing that, it warms my heart. And I've seen people come through it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it just has just depth of meaning.
It does for me, too. This was one of my anchor passages, Dr. Troy, through some of the worst parts of just what it was like for me in this past year. And what I kept latching onto, as you said, the God of all grace who called you after you've suffered a little while. But what he just whispered to my heart is there is an appointed time. There's a beginning and end to this. But after that, God himself, like he's coming, he's not sending his peeps.
Yeah.
He himself will restore you, make you strong. Another translation says, give you a firm place to stand. And I'm telling you what, I anchored to that. And I just thought, I want to do what I need to do. I want to pay attention to the stuff I need to pay attention to. But your word says this, and I'm believing there is an appointed beginning and end to this. And I think this is really important because you and I talk a lot about personal responsibility. I mean, we're in a culture where everybody wants a quick fix. Give me a shot. Give me a pill. I don't want to have to deal with my part of this bargain. But if we really want to flourish in health, we have to look at our part of the bargain. But there's times where you can obsess over your own health choices to the absence of faith.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're saying, too, is do your part, but then gauge your faith because God's part is even greater.
Yeah, he's there. And if you think about it, I take a step back and I've seen people's faith just become stronger and stronger and grow and grow. And the reality is the way we're wired, we would not truly understand the gift that God has given us and what we have if we didn't go through things like
this. So true.
We need that relativity. We need a bad day to truly understand and feel what a good day feels like. We need a bad season to truly understand the gift of a good season.
Amen.
And so this is such a big component of our journey. It's just when you're in the middle of it, you can lose sight of that.
Yeah.
And that's easy to do.
Yeah, boy, such a good word. This is exactly why we asked that question. You've just given us almost a mini sermon. Appreciate that so much. So, Dr. Troy, we wanted to talk a little bit about the process of getting healthy. At this point in the year, now we are at the end of January, so people have, like, about the resolutions. I was just kidding.
Exactly.
Remember what I said? Never mind.
Yeah.
But truly, this is why so often people don't make it the second mile, because they're like, I didn't sign up for this. So we want to give kind of a clear picture that sometimes things actually do get worse before they get better. So maybe take it from there and just set this up for us.
Yeah, most times they actually do. We're ready in our industry in the first couple weeks of January, because we have people coming in for what we call the Christmas comas. They're just there's a lot of sugar, a lot of good food that people consume over from Thanksgiving to Christmas, and people, they feel it. They feel lousy, and they want help. So they come in and they make changes, or they're doing them on their own. And the reality is, when you make changes, there's good and bad that happens to it. So the first thing I'm going to say is that if you take something out of your diet and you get a headache or any type of withdrawal symptoms, flu-like symptoms, that's a sign that you are doing that in excess. It doesn't mean it doesn't matter if it's caffeine from coffee, sugar from pop or alcohol for some people, or other foods, just baked goods. If you feel a little bit more lethargic, it means it was being overdone. So I want you to kind of hear that first, because that gives you a, a little bit of feedback as to how you came into this January season. So just pay attention to that. The second thing is, when you are eating foods that you are sensitive to or intolerant to or have an allergy to, even if it's just mild, your immune system reacts. And part of that reaction is mucus production. So some people will get sinuses that kind of clog up or nasal stuff. Some people will not notice, but it affects their bowels and it's a little mucusy. When you clean things up, you lose that. So what happens is you actually dry up. Your nasal passage will dry up. Your intestinal passage will dry up as well. And so some people will get kind of constipated. And when you're constipated, you don't feel very good. And that can lead to headaches or other challenges depending
on
what's going on. Or crabbiness, I've heard.
It's not a scientific fact, but it's common sense.
Very accurate,
anyway,
yes.
Thank you.
Yes. And so that's a very common one. And all of a sudden they get some intestinal disorders. And if that goes on for a couple days, then you can get some intestinal spasms. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we see in functional medicine is when the intestines spasm, there are consequences to that. That can mimic, for some people, sciatica, because all of a sudden things start to swell in that area and they'll get shooting pain down their leg. And really all it is a digestive scenario when they started eating healthy.
Wow.
Other people, and more commonly, will get neck tension, head tension, and sleep disturbance and headaches. And so we see that because of the intestinal spasticity. So it's very important, as you change the diet, just make sure that your bowels are moving. Not to be too graphic here, when you lose that mucus, things don't slide out as well. And there's about a 3 to 5 days, maybe 7, days of transition time period when all of a sudden it'll switch back and it's a much healthier state. The water's going to start coming back in there. So that's why they say drink lots of water during these transition times. And stay pretty active, not too active, but pretty active when you go through it.
Okay, let's talk for a moment. We're going to take a break here in just a moment, so you might have to take this over on the other side. But about, you know, the same scenario plays out when you fast, because your tongue all of a sudden starts to look like a little ewe,
yes.
A little sheep. You start to get stuff on your tongue. What is that dynamic? And also, when you take acidophilus, you may have body aches because there's a die-off happening. Maybe say a word about that.
Yeah, so if you have a current infection, then there could be a die-off. So if there's yeast, fungus, or mold, which is very, very common, then we start to see those, they can't live in the new environment because they're fed by a lot of the bad stuff that we eat, the sugars and stuff. So we start to see a little die-off. That is very important to get rid of, and that die-off goes into our lymph systems. It's just like when we're children and our lymph nodes swell up when we have an infection. As we age and these other things get into our body, they still go into the lymph system, but it's more of an established lymph system. So you don't feel the nodes as much, but the lymph system does get congested quite a bit. And lymph literally is Greek for fast-flowing waters.
Wow.
So think of it as a river system in your body, and our immune system dumps all the garbage into that river system. And then that river system is taken to the liver. And the liver is kind of the recycling plant, and it chops everything up, recycles, and reuses what it can and gets rid of the garbage. Now, if that gets backed up, it'll start to come out through our skin.
Interesting.
And so we start to see some retroflow, if you will, of this lymphatic river system, and it comes out of our tongue, our skin, and that's a massive detox reaction. For the most part. And so we do start to see a lot of those lymphatic challenges.
So we're going to talk a little bit more about, aren't you just excited to start living healthy? No, we're going to talk about this because it does get a little harder before it gets easier, you know, tough before it gets better. But what's on the other side is absolutely worth it. It is Health and Healing with Dr. Troy today. If you've got questions, interrupt this conversation at any time, 877-933-2484. And we'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I love that Toby Mac song. He takes our brokenness and he makes it beautiful. That is one of the reasons we have Dr. Troy on the show once a month, because there are broken areas in our life. There's things where that we can do something about, just tweaks to our health, to our diet, to our perspective, even our self-talk, and then we can engage our faith. I really do believe, after especially what I've walked through recently, God wants us well. He wants us to thrive in health and healing. And this is a tiny bit off topic, but I feel like we just got to engage about this for a minute, Dr. Troy. But, you know, I hear and I read sometimes people thinking that God gave them sickness to keep them humble. And it's such a painful thing. I mean, I know I've been humbled by some of the stuff I've struggled with, but I know with all my heart it didn't come from God. And I was just telling a friend today, I'm like, you know, there's a mental health issue. I think it's called Munchausen by proxy or something, right? Where a parent makes the child, creates a crisis around the child to get the attention to then care for the child, right? Yeah. That's basically what you're projecting on God, I feel like, to say that he would for a moment inflict sickness on his kids, when Jesus is a representation of the Father, and Jesus did only what the Father said, and follow him around in the Gospels, he cared about the well-being of people. He healed them everywhere he went. Yeah. I mean, I want maybe just speak to that a bit, because once we get that out of the way, then we can maybe engage our faith about God really does want us well.
Yeah, you're 100% right on that. I would say that that he wants us to be well, and part of what led me to my belief that there's an answer to every problem is because of that.
Hmm.
And so he will always turn what's bad and what's happened to us into good, and it can become a gift. But that the suffering's not from God, but he does have answers and solutions for that suffering, and we get to take the feeling of being humbled in that situation forward with us. So
indeed,
it becomes a gift.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't mean it didn't have to start that way, but we can make it that way. Just like many, many things that are handed to us that are not from God, are hard, bad, evil, he will turn that into good for his work. And so that's what we're really focusing on, is that part of it. And just know that he has an answer for you.
He has an answer for you. There's something to untangle for you.
Yes.
You know, Scripture talks about, I will give you treasures in the darkness. I will work all things together. That's what Dr. Troy's talking about. He can take what man or what the enemy has meant for evil, and he can turn it to good because he is God. But he's not making you sick. And we want to create just a different mindset around health, because it's a very spiritual thing, because the Bible says we carry this treasure in these earthen vessels, right?
Yeah, and part of what we were talking about earlier, taking responsibility, for us, really, that includes keeping your eyes open so you can see the treasure that he's given you in that darkness. So you can see the light that he's got there for you. Too many times I do see people that get into a bit of a victim mode, and they do not see what's right in front of them. And the answer's right there, and they're making their story about their disease.
And their identity comes from that.
And really the answer's in front of them all along.
Yeah.
Just our responsibility, a lot of the time, is look for it. Look for how God is going to creatively fix what you're going through. And it'll be there.
So good. So good. Okay, we've got Ellie, who called in, wanted to be off the air. How do you get rid of the phlegm that seems to be building up in your chest? 2, if I have a good cry, I find myself having a lot of it, and is that unhealthy? What's that coming from?
Well, phlegm is a reaction to something. So, again, that's your immune system reacting. If it's in the lungs, it's the lining of the lungs. So you have to look for what are you breathing in that's causing some form of immune system reaction. It can be a toxic chemical like what's in cigarette smoke. It can be something in the air, a lot of times environmental allergens. So it can be seasonal allergies to trees and things like that. If it happens in the wintertime, this time of year, once you close up all the windows, a lot of times it's mold or something along those lines, a fungus or a mold. Sometimes it's a hidden infection in the dental area or in the nasal passage that can also set that up. And strangely enough, food sensitivities, and we talked about this earlier, constipation or bowel irregularities can cause the exact same thing. It can actually form mucus in our lungs based on what we're eating in our digestive tract. So the best analogy I have is if you have a big castle with a long wall, like the Great Wall of China, think of that as the wall that surrounds the castle. If one end of the castle gets attacked, the guards are going to send a message to the other end of the wall and at the top of the castle as well. And so more guards come to that area. So if you have something causing mucus production in your intestinal tract, dairy sensitivity is one of the biggest ones, then your immune system is going to get a signal through the nervous system to these other areas that are our barriers. Our lungs are our barrier system. The intestinal tract is the barrier system. Our sinuses are our barrier system. So these things tend to get more mucus buildup when the immune system is under attack.
Wow, absolutely amazing. We have Kim calling, checking in from Madison. Hey, Kim, you're on the air. Just want you to know we have a hard break coming in 3 minutes, so Dr. Troy may have to start his answer and then pick it up on the other side. But you're on the air. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I'll try and make it as short as I can. My daughter is 18, and she's been diagnosed with adrenal fatigue and insulin resistance. She went on some medication about 4 years ago, which was an antidepressant, and she gained a lot of weight. And then she's been trying to lose weight for about 2 years and went to a nutritionist who diagnosed her with those two things. He put her on a bunch of nothing has seemed for to change her situation. And I'm wondering, how do you go about treating adrenal fatigue and insulin resistance in people?
It's a great question. I also want to differentiate something here. In functional medicine, adrenal fatigue is a very common thing. In traditional medicine, adrenal fatigue is not that common. So a lot of times when the adrenals fail in traditional medicine, you'll start to see a complete collapse of your organs. So this is a very functional disorder, so you have to approach it functionally to help it. One of the first things we do, I want you to think of the adrenals as the stress gland. So anything that causes stress will now fatigue or deplete those adrenal glands. I'm not talking about just mental stress. I'm talking about physical or chemical stress. So the most common things, it's very complex, but I'm going to run through the most common scenarios here. First of all, correcting the digestive system. So taking out all food sensitivities, food reactions is very important. Secondly, is improve the sleep. Many, many people with adrenal fatigue have a sleep disorder and don't know about it, or poor sleep habits. So those are two things you want to work on right away. Improve the digestive system and improve the sleep. There are hidden infections in the digestive system. We call it dysbiosis or SIBO, things like that, where the bacteria is out of balance. Many times that has to be addressed. Insulin and adrenal fatigue go together. So the adrenal glands will release cortisol, which is the opposing hormone to insulin, and so it starts to drive the sensitivity of that down. Physical exercise can help balance the insulin and manage the cortisol, but not overdoing it. You have to be very, very in tune with what your body can handle. The sleep part of it is really, really crucial. Salt imbalances can also play a role, and when we're stressed, we have a lot of sugar or salt cravings. So you have to see if you're having too much salt or not enough salt, and then the sugar has to be managed as well. And occasionally you can have other hormones like thyroid and estrogen get in the way and also contribute to that adrenal fatigue.
Mm. Kim, thanks for that question. And we've devoted a whole half show, I should say. How's that for a sentence? To that issue. So I'm going to look for that and see if we can find that for you. Talking to Dr. Troy, keep the calls coming. We'll be back in a minute.
Meeting you.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor. When my sails are torn, your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. It's one of our favorite times of the month. It's Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We've got Dr. Troy in studio to answer your health and healing questions. And we do this, we're so committed to your wholeness, to your health, mind, body, soul, and spirit. Because when you're all there, when you're healthy in those ways, you can show up for the call of God on your life in a way that it's just tricky when you're dealing with so many chronic issues. And I just think there's so much we can do to kind of contribute to overall health. And Dr. Troy's got some great answers for you. today. Also, I've got 5 copies of my, what's an older book of mine, but it's on physical and spiritual health, a lot of practical application called Balance That Works When Life Doesn't. Excuse me, you can get in on the drawing by emailing me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And don't forget your mailing address. And you can put balance somewhere in that email. And the phone number, if you want to call toll free to ask Dr. Troy a question, is 877-933-2484. We've got Michael checking in from Sioux Falls. Hey, Michael, thanks for holding.
Thank you.
How are you? Good. How are you today?
I'm awesome. So, kind of a long question. So I'm going to break this up in 3 little points. 7 years ago, got sick. On a 7-year recovery, you know, little bits and pieces here and there. So that being said, you got the, I guess we'll fast forward here. I'm down to just, I'm pretty certain there could be like a food intolerance, food allergy per se, which ties in with some skin issues on my knees. Seems to me that that's the tail end of everything now. But I was curious about two or three things. The Whole Food 30 program that I've been hearing about, and the Garden of Life products, in which I did notice that Acidophilus is not one of the strains that's in the Garden of Life. So I don't know if either one of those are recommended, or that's kind of my question, really. So
okay, just did you?
Yep.
You all right.
Yep. Yeah, I love the Whole 30 program. That's how I eat most of the time. So I really really like it. It's for those that don't know, it's sugar free, dairy free, grain free. You do eat protein. Eggs are good, and they pull out a lot of different forms of the sugar. Now the thing I'm going to say is that you still have to tweak it a little bit. So I have many people that do that program or something similar who still have to avoid things like nuts or seeds. So you have to know what works for you, what doesn't work for you. But overall, I think it's a very good program. It's very clean. On that program, they're not necessarily a fan of stevia. I will use stevia on occasion for different scenarios. So there's a lot of tweaks that you may have to do, but as a general baseline, I love that diet and program, and I love the paleo program as well. And we're seeing a lot of changes just from that. And when you pull out just processed foods in general, you're going to see some changes. But when you clean it up even more, you should see some significant changes in 30 days. As far as the Garden of Life products, I love his story and his testimony, and have seen good results with the Garden of Life products. I will use them on occasion as well when I'm recommending products to people. I can't really comment on the cleanliness of the product as far as I like to use certain companies that actually test their products and stuff and have a little bit more of a guarantee. But I love the Jordan Rubin and what he's done to make the products, if you will. And so, yeah, very, very big fan of both those, Whole 30 and Garden of Life. But don't be afraid to kind of tweak things. Some people won't be able to handle the protein as well, and that means something. Some people won't be able to handle the nuts as well, and that means something. So just look at it and tweak it and make it yours.
Thanks for that call, Michael. And if you want to be in on the drawing for the balanced book, just give Carissa your address. A follow-up question here is, what is the definition of processed foods? When you say to try to eliminate that from your diet, what does that look like?
That's a great question. Literally, processed food is any time you use something, an outside anything to change or alter the food. So even if it's being cleaned with a chemical, it's now processed. So if it's being put in a box, it's processed. If they're changing, if they're heating it, it's processed. So anything change, if it, just think of it this way, if it's different than God made it, it's processed.
So is it pretty much everything on the inside of the grocery store?
Pretty much, yes. Yeah. So you, if I don't know if you can find anything on the inside of the grocery store that's not processed.
Wow.
So, yeah, generally speaking, if you stick to the outside parts of the grocery store, you're doing pretty good.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes.
This is an anonymous question. Can you ask him what makes the bladder produce crystals in the urine? So it's not a bladder infection, but when I've had my urine tested thinking I've had an infection, it's actually been crystals in the urine. What does that? What's that about?
Yeah, crystals will form because of some type of chemical imbalance. It's usually a pH scenario, mm-hmm. so acid and alkaline, or an electrolyte scenario. So we can get it from calcium, sodium and calcium and potassium imbalances in our body. We can get it from too much acid. It's usually too much acid. And so the crystals, and specifically if you're dehydrated. So a lot of times if you don't have the water, water is an excellent buffer in our system, and the kidneys and the bladder need a lot of water. So if you're getting a lot of these crystals, the first thing I do is look at dehydration. Make
sure
you're not
dehydrated. Which can also happen from coffee and soda and teas,
yes.
right? You can be drinking all kinds of water, but dehydrating yourself,
yeah, so
right?
coffee will dehydrate you, and it's acidic. So there are some good properties of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
We'll spend a show on that later.
Come on.
Yeah. but also, for example, if I do have coffee or if I have something that dehydrates me, I always try and match it with a glass of water twice the size. And so if you do drink coffee, try and drink water afterwards with that. Bit of a side note there. But you want to start with the hydration. After that, it's checking to see, do you have a problem? Are your kidneys working okay? And infection is one other thing that can cause it. So you can still have an infection somewhere else in the body, the kidneys, or somewhere else in the body that's low grade, not spiking a fever or anything, but that also is dehydrating your system, or a little bit harder on the kidneys themselves. So we've seen the kidneys or low-grade infections do that as well. But sodium, potassium, chloride can do it as well, and different salts that if you're doing too much salt just in general, that can sometimes lead to that. So stick with the hydration. Look for hidden infection if you can, or stop things like sugar, and if it clears up, then you know you're probably feeding another source of infection that was leading to it as well.
So if you're highly acidic, maybe your pH is off, I'm sure red sauces and that would trigger you. Does that also contribute to the imbalance then as well? Or is there something else you can do on a deeper level to balance that pH?
Yeah, our diet and our breathing helps more than anything. So
wow.
when you take deep breaths, so a lot of times if we're not breathing deeply, then we're not blowing off the carbon dioxide.
Yeah, interesting.
And so carbon dioxide can also affect that pH. So there's great lists. If you just Google acid alkaline food list, you'll get these lists of foods and things that we put in our body that are very acidic or very alkaline. And so some people will actually use antibiotics are actually one of the most acidifying things we can put in our body.
Hmm.
And you wouldn't think of that because it's a medication. We need it for infection. So there are things you can do like natural antibiotics that like garlic and other things that are less acidic, and still they're not as strong as the other antibiotics, but they may handle some of the low grade infections.
Maybe all you need.
It
right?
might be all you need. Yeah.
Wow.
So starting with less invasive stuff like that can be very helpful.
Awesome.
Less acidic.
Okay. Amy writes in, do B12 shots really help you lose weight?
Yeah, they help with a lot of different things. So if there's other things going on, they may not, but they actually really do. So they can help with metabolism. They help with mood. They help with hormones. So they have a lot of impact on different areas. And if one of those areas is part of why the weight gain is there, then yes, they can help. So they're an important part of the puzzle for a lot of people, women in particular. They may be something that's missed. So a lot of times some people will get B12 shots and notice that all of a sudden they start losing weight. Well, that means that they really took care of a lot of the other stuff that was behind it, and this was the last thing. Because rarely is it B12 all by itself.
Hmm.
But they do help. They're a part of the puzzle for sure.
Excellent. Okay. Let's see here. We've got muscle testing question. Can you ask Dr. Troy if he's familiar with muscle testing to diagnose organ weakness, and if so, what he thinks of it? Any opinion also on standard process supplements?
Yeah, I use muscle testing myself, and I will say this. Muscle testing can accurately but indicate potential challenges with organ dysfunction or challenges. We never, ever diagnose off of muscle tests. Some practitioners might, but that's not a line that I follow. I like to use muscle tests to help guide me in a certain direction, lab work and history and other findings to collaborate or come together and paint the picture, really, of what's going on. And a lot of times the muscle testing will show problems with organs that doesn't show up on lab work. And so you have to take it with that in mind, that it could be just starting out and you're just getting a level of dysfunction. And you have to go to someone who really knows what they're doing with it. I was part of a study where they checked the accuracy of the muscle testing. And what they found was, I was a student at the time, the students that had less than 3 years of experience using muscle testing were no better than 50-50 on accurately finding the result. But the practitioners who've been doing it for over 3 years were very accurate, and the longer they had been doing it, the more the accuracy went up. And there was one gentleman in the study had been muscle testing for over 30 years who was more accurate than the computer system that was measuring the weaknesses. So he hit 100% on all of his muscle tests, and he was able to tell a weakness when the computer could not anymore, because they used a bladder that the doctor had to push against, and then they had these EMG needles in the muscles, and so they were reading the pressure, and his pressure was so slight, and he could discern weakness before the computer could actually feel if he was actually pushing. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
Absolutely amazing. We're going to pause here and take a break. I see a few more questions coming in by email. Just a reminder, I've got 5 copies of my book, Balance That Works When Life Doesn't. The subtitle is Simple Steps to a Woman's Physical and Spiritual Health. If you're a dude, I still think there's some good stuff in here for you. It talks about diet, spiritual diet, and our physical diet. It talks about spiritual exercise and our physical exercise. If you want in on the drawing, just email Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. And also, the phone lines are still open if you've got questions for Dr. Troy. We've got them for our full 2 hours. We're so grateful and blessed. 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH. And we'll be back in a minute. Just true. He's making diamonds out of us. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Every single month, we have our good friend Dr. Troy Spurl in a studio, Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We do this to help encourage you in your faith and your health walk. I truly believe God has more for you. In fact, I challenge you to ask God for wisdom about any tweaks you might need to make on your health. If you've got complicated situations or questions that you may be even embarrassed to ask, don't be. But if you need to call in anonymously or be off the air, call in and Carissa will pass that question along to us. 877-933-2484. Dr. Troy, anonymous call came in here and says, if someone thinks they may have a food intolerance, would Dr. Troy suggest that a person go get tested to narrow it down? Or would he suggest to just eliminate certain foods for a period of time as a self-test? Great question.
Yeah, I love this question. There's many ways to actually get this answer. So the most cost-effective way is to do the elimination. So you eliminate basically all food and you add them in one at a time every 3 days, and you start to build from that. So you can even fast for 2 days, and 3 is even better, and then start to add the foods in. If there's a known food you're okay with, rice is a generally low allergen, although there are people who react to it. You can eat 1, 2, or 3 foods and then slowly add in the other ones. And that one's a little harder to do, but it's cheap. So you can, most people can afford to do that. It's just the most challenging type. Then you can get blood tests. Blood tests, there are a couple different tests you want to get. A traditional allergist is going to look at doing needles and blood tests, and they test for something called IgE antibodies. These are the antibodies that cause swelling, histamine. That's the peanut allergies that are life-threatening. Those are the ones they're looking for because they cause swelling. Those ones in particular are not generally what we look at with intolerances. Other blood tests will check for IgG. IgG tend to not be as big a deal as far as causing severe reactions, But they do, over time, cause enough inflammation and intestinal discomfort, if you will, not even discomfort, imbalances that can start to affect other areas. So the IgG blood testing is more effective for foods. For environmental triggers like the trees, the pollens and stuff like that, the IgE is a little bit better. And then there's kinesiologic testing, which uses muscle testing to see if you react to foods, and that'll catch a whole bunch of intolerances. And then there's other testing. The LEAP test is another one that just measures the blood for any type of fluid change in the blood, and so it's a reaction of fluid. So some people don't have an allergy or an intolerance at all, but there's a reaction where fluid gets thrown out of their cells. It's a very bizarre scenario, and so people will feel bloated after eating a certain food and get the lab tests, and it'll be nothing showing on the labs. But you feel bloated. So if you have that type of reaction, just know it's cause and effect, and it may not show up on any of the labs. The LEAP test will show it for a lot of those people. And so I just recommend doing one of those, and then you can play with it too. If you take just a single food out, the most common food reactions are wheat, gluten, dairy, corn, soy, and then we start to get down into some more specific. So start with the big ones, pull them out. If you pull them out for a full 2 weeks. Then if you still don't notice a change, add it back in and see if you notice a change. Because sometimes it's so subtle that you don't know that it helped until you add the food back in and you feel kind of lousy.
And it's important to note, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that the subtle change might not be, you might not feel it in your gut. You might get a headache. You might have, right?
Yes. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, 40% of people have silent digestive issues. It's literally some other scenario.
Right.
Hand going numb.
And this is where you call
headache.
Me
Dr.
Susie. Thank you very much.
Yes,
just want to
well
go
played.
For that once a month. I can hear that. I'm a legend in my own mind. Okay, this dear listener, I'm sorry, called in, didn't want to be on the air. I have an 11-year-old daughter who's been congested for quite a while. She's a mouth breather, has allergies to dairy and nuts. The doctors say that removing her tonsils would be the option. Would you recommend any alternative solutions?
Yeah, so the doctors might be right about that, because if the tonsils are enlarged, it could be infection. Mm. If there's a deviated septum, that's a medical procedure for a lot of times. Generally speaking, if you've looked for other sources of infection and tried to deal with them or eliminate a lot of the food reactions, then we do have to go to the tonsillectomy as far as a procedure to help get done. I like to try and remove the test and remove all the foods first and look for hidden infection in the sinuses because the tonsils, they enlarge for a reason.
Exactly.
And so I do try and help that as much as I can. I would say over the years, it's about 50-50. So when,
really?
When some kids come in with enlarged tonsils, it can be a challenge. So I know there are other practitioners out there that are probably having more success with that. But identifying the source for me is always the key thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also seen once the tonsils are removed, we start to see them sleeping better and their airways just opened better. So they stop wetting the bed, which is sometimes an issue when your tonsils are that large.
Wow. Okay, we're going to squeeze in an anonymous call, I believe. I think we'll have time for it. We've got about, I want to say 5 minutes or so to the top of the hour, but we're going to carry Dr. Troy on to the other side here as well. Dear anonymous friend, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Say, I just have a quick question for you. I'm 56 years old, and I have some osteoarthritis, mostly in the joints by my thumbs, but also a little in my knees and my elbows once in a while. I try not to take too much anti-inflammatories, but one thing I've noticed, I also get what I would call pinpoint pain, like by my elbows and sometimes in my hips. And I feel like I have musculoskeletal pain down like my forearm sometimes and in my legs. Is that all part of the osteoarthritis? And is there anything else I can do besides like the anti-inflammatories?
Yeah, you actually most likely the osteoarthritis is contributing to it. And when you have that type of arthritis in the joints, the muscles can become impacted. And so some of the muscles will get a little bit strained, weakened, even a little fragile. You can do natural anti-inflammatories, things like turmeric, curcumin, things along those natures, fish oils, omega-3 fatty acids, and those do help quite a bit with that. Also, cutting out anti-inflammatories or pro-inflammatory foods is very, very important. So sugar can also be a huge component of flaring up arthritis and the immune system itself when it comes to the joints. So think about when you're cold or you're sick, you want to drink lots of water, you want to rest, you want some movement because exercise helps prevent the cold and flu, and then antioxidants. Those things also help quite a bit. So at 56, we know that you're generally in that season where there's change with the hormones, and your adrenal glands will take on the burden of producing more of the estrogens because the ovaries have stopped. And so what happens is this: you get a little bit more of a stress response, which causes us to crave sugar. And so that craving, if is there, then you want to manage and help support the adrenal glands as well. And if you're talking about your elbows, any type of stomach inflammation will flare up the elbows, the muscles around the elbows, even more. So if you push just in between your ribs and there's any type of tenderness or soreness along the rib cage in the muscle area, then that's a sign of some inflammation there. And if we clean that up through diet, sometimes the hidden infections like H. pylori, that actually helps quite a bit with your elbows. And then the last thing I'm going to just mention is mild to moderate exercise where you're using those muscles is very, very beneficial. So things like holding a pose where you're doing some core work, where you're doing a bridge or a plank. Those things are very, very helpful to start to bring balance to the muscles. You don't want to overdo it because it's already compromised and can't take a lot of inflammation out of the joints, but you have to keep using and moving those joints to allow them to clear the inflammatory and acidic components that come with osteoarthritis.
Thanks for that call. We're going to squeeze in Aaron's call, checking in from Wisconsin. But again, we've literally got about 2.5 minutes before we got to get off the air and then hop back on again. Aaron, you got just a quick minute here to share your question. If we have to carry it to the other side, we sure will. Welcome. You're on the show.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Susie.
Okay. You can have the rest of the hour. Just kidding.
Okay. I've got a bunch of little kids, and there's like a skin irritant that's kind of like a wart. It's raised, and they're circular, and they seem to spread really well. If the kids bathe together, the other kids will maybe start seeing those on the other kids. So I'm not sure exactly what the best way to get rid of them. Sometimes they'll get irritated and, you know, almost get red around them as well. Thing I thought of was, I remember like all of us getting really sick like a year ago, and then feeling like I'm completely drained of food after, you know, a bad weekend flu spell, and thinking, boy, I really don't know what I should eat now since I'm all cleaned out. Hmm. And I thought, boy, it seems like a lot of us, or at least I, just don't really have a good understanding of what's the best thing to put in.
Aaron, I hope you can hang on to the other side of the hour because I want to tackle that flu question if we can. But I think, Dr. Troy, you got about a minute to speak to the wart issue. Can you do that in about a minute?
Yeah, because it's actually very hard to know which direction to go with that. We need a visual with that. Unfortunately, that's one of those things where you need a visual because it really – there's a lot of different scenarios there. For something like that, I would recommend getting to a dermatologist to identify what it is that we're dealing with. Certain things are going to be transmitted very easily, viruses and fungal and some bacteria as well. So we really need an identification on that to be able to know what to do. There are general things that you can do naturally to help with that, but it really depends on what type of deal we're working with. So that one we would need to see a picture and get an actual diagnosis from a dermatologist would help.
Okay, so we're pausing here. That's hour one. Hour two is coming up next. Aaron, if you have the time to hang on, you sure can. Otherwise, we can ask that question on the other side of how do you reintroduce food after a spell with the flu? A lot of people are battling that right now. Another question about a listener who's perimenopausal, menopausal, and how does that play into food sensitivities and symptoms of illness? We'll tackle that one as well. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Dr. Troy joins us in studio for Health and Healing. He'll answer more of your questions in a moment.